Mark the fourth chapter, and beginning at verse 35. If you'll let me paraphrase coming into verse 35, and right after church, the same day, verse 35, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were other little ships there also. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And would you believe it, the next verse, and they feared. Sounds like some of us today, doesn't it? He just got through saying, don't fear. And they feared exceedingly. They didn't just fear, they feared exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus is greater than your storm. Whatever your storm is, Jesus is greater than your storm, my storm, our storm. Jesus is greater than your storm. Each point that I draw from this, you've probably heard them in one way or another many times, but it's as fresh to me as the morning dew. And I believe that God quickened this in my heart for this occasion today. Here in the fourth chapter of Mark, and I wrote again in my Bible, right here by verse 35, right after church. Right after church. See, Jesus had just been ministering the word. And of course, Mark 4 is one of the most powerful, all of it's powerful, but my. I mean, he talks to us about the different types of soil, four different types of soil, and you just can't improve on the insights that come through Mark, the fourth chapter. But right after church, it's one thing to go to church, but you got to live this stuff. It's good to shout amen, woo, glory to God. But right after church, sometimes we have to live what we just got through listening to or what we just got through preaching. And to be honest with you, sometimes I have a little bit of hesitation on preaching or ministry because I know what's coming. But I've given myself the information from God's Word on how to face that. So everything is going to be all right. Mark the fourth chapter, it's great. It talks about a great storm, so I'm going to call everything great because everything here is great. First of all, there was a great invitation. And the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a great invitation. Jesus did not invite you to the altar or invite you to humble your heart or accept Jesus by saying, come to me and go under. Come to me and fail. Come to me and get ready for the worst disaster of your life. He said, let us. That's a good boat to be in, isn't it? Let us. Jesus is in the boat. Let us go over. And the fifth chapter, verse 1 said they got to the other side. You can get the punchline before we get started here. It was a great invitation. And you know, there are days when the devil says, it's no big deal serving God. You're not coming through. You're not coming out. You're not going over. He's a liar. We have responded to the great invitation. The thief is come but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. A great invitation. When the even was come, he said unto them, let us. Oh, that's so wonderful. Aren't you glad we have others with us? I'm with you and you're with me, and praise God, we're going over. We're responding to the great invitation. I was listening to Brother Womack, and he said something I thought very significant. He said, you know, some people act like the Holy Spirit is just God with a big club beating you over the head about everything that happens. And the Holy Spirit is not sent here to make our life miserable. The Holy Spirit is not sent here to give us a hard time. The Holy Spirit has come here to lead us to Christ. And then, of course, He is comforter and standby and all the wonderful things that the Bible says that He is, and indeed He is. A great invitation. I'm standing here this morning because I responded to the great invitation. Every time I hear about a big accident and some car being totaled or something, I think, I'm here by the grace of God. I'm here by the grace of God. Never will I forget that night. We didn't have seat belts at that time. Airplanes had them, but cars did not have them at that time. As I knelt beside that crumpled piece of metal and said, God, I give you my life, the rest of it, all of it. I don't know what to do with me, but you've got me on your hands for the rest of my life. I'm tired of running. And right there where I was driving, there was, it looked like God or an angel had just protected my head. That car was metal. It wasn't plastic. It wasn't fiberglass. That car was heavy, and it was a strong automobile. And this morning, I just paused to say, thanks be unto God for sparing my life, giving me another opportunity to come to Jesus and not only be born again. I mean, I'd had experiences with God, but to come to Him and to give Him the rest of my life. Thank God. Great invitation. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're not giving a cheap invitation on these altar calls. We're not giving a cheap invitation on these altar calls. Hell is real. Hell is real. Hell is hot. Hell is eternal. Hell is real. I know modern theology, we don't like to talk about hell, and there's a lot of people who don't even believe in heaven. They say we got heaven on earth. They need to read their newspapers, don't they? But our invitation is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for the turmoil and the craziness that you may be facing. A great invitation. When we give an invitation at Calvary, it's not only a good invitation, it's a great invitation. And I've had people say, well, we've heard that. We've heard that and heard that and heard that. One day you're going to thank God for every invitation you've ever heard. And you're going to thank God even when no one came forward that we gave the invitation to thank God. If you leave this place, you leave on your own. You don't leave saying, I didn't know. They didn't tell me. What am I doing up here standing before God? We told you about heaven and hell. We told you how to be born again. Not how to feel better, but how to be born again. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, the wages of sin is death. You don't want that paycheck. Of all paychecks, you don't want that one. And if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord, I shall be saved. Thank God we give a great invitation. Thank God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, going from a great invitation, there was a great audience. It wasn't a big audience. Well, it's turned out to be a big audience because the whole world's read this God knows how many times. But the Bible said there were other little ships around them. Other little ships. See, it wasn't just Jesus and those disciples in their ship. And I've seen some paintings of everybody huddled up in the same ship. Now, Jesus was stretched out and had his head on a pillow. I mean, he'd had a busy day ministering. He was resting. You couldn't do that in a little tiny rowboat. Can you imagine 12 men in a rowboat? That'd be something else. But the great audience, there were other little ships with them in verse 36. And I've brought an entire message on this somewhere in the past. But you know, we must never forget the other little ships that think we're the only ship in the world. We must not forget those other little ships that watch us and watch our faith. and see if we blink in the midst of the storm and see what happens to us and see how it all turns out. There's other little ships. You don't sin unto yourself. You don't say, sin's no one's business but myself. We all affect other people. And I read something. I wished I'd kept it. Did I hear it? But the most blah person, the most bland personality vitally affects at least 7 people in their lifetime, one way or another. I mean, not a mover and a shaker, not a sparkling personality, but someone that just kind of blah, you know, just never really says anything to anybody, vitally affects the lives of at least 7 people in their lifetime. The other little ships, they were with them and obviously not far away. So there was a great audience. Not that there were that many people in those little ships, but the whole world has read this. And this has been preached by everybody from Oral Roberts to Billy Graham to Reinhard Bonnke to, I mean, millions, multiplied millions have heard about this. So the audience has turned out to be a great audience. And there arose a great storm of wind, the Bible says. And from all I can understand, this is like tornado. Some say this was hurricane or like a tornado. And in a hurricane, there are several tornadoes. A tornado usually is one thing happening. A hurricane is a lot of tornadoes involved in that. When our television station down in Grenada went through Ivan, that's the way they described it to me, that there are several tornadoes, several pockets of air that are swirling. So really you have tornadoes involved even in hurricanes from the way it was explained to me. And the Bible said there arose a great storm, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. In other words, death is near. Death is near. Well, we've been on that sea, and some of you have slid across the deck. I saw my wife Joy and Faith slide across. There's a little plastic Walmart type of chairs on that Sea of Galilee. And I mean, the storm came up and phew, they were sliding across the deck there. So it can happen. But the Bible said a great storm of wind, swirling winds, beat into the ship. And it's now full. Well, duh, when a boat's full, it's going down. I mean, it's over. Do you understand? I mean, this is a split second. I mean, just seconds away from going under. It's now full. A now full boat goes under. Death is near. A great storm of wind. How quickly life can bring great storms. But then there's a great question. Thank God they had the courage to. Now, and this is something we argued in Bible college over and over again. Would that boat have sunk whether they did anything or not with Jesus? Well, you know Jesus is not going to sink. But the Bible said he didn't teach them without giving parables and illustrations. Jesus was the master of illustrated sermons. And so he would talk about the merchant man and the pearl. He'd talk about the farmer. He'd talk about the water and the sea. Sometimes people argue about the exact location of things in Israel. When you get on that sea, the argument's over. This is it. This is definitely it. And so the Bible said that they cried out, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And if I got the truth out of everybody in this auditorium, me included, I'm not going to ask you for your show of hands, but I'm just going to say, you'd be a strange person here this morning if there was some time in your life and you said, Lord, don't you care? This thing's about to kill me, about to put me under. Lord, don't you care? It doesn't seem like you care. The storm's raging. The boat's full. They're seconds away from eternity. Lord, don't you care? I've prayed that. When the pressure is so intense and it seems like there's no way out or no way there. I'm not fussing at you. I'm just confessing myself. I've prayed that prayer. There's times it seemed like God didn't care. God, don't you care that we lose this whole property downtown? God, don't you care? Don't you care about the financing? Don't you care? God, don't you care? I'm into something that I'm having a hard time articulating, but I believe we're communicating this morning. The Spirit of God is in this room. And there's some of you right now saying, Lord, don't you care? Where's that job? Where's that better job? Where is relief from what I'm... Lord, don't you care? I go to church. I'm a tither. I'm born again. Spirit-filled. Have a prayer language. Don't you care, God? Unfortunately, I think that all of us have prayed that prayer at some time. A great question. Lord, don't you care? But something came out of that great cry. I'll tell you, in serving God, it's amazing how crazy things can be and how calm things can get. Jesus is greater than your storm. Sometimes it seemed like the storm will never be over. I think it was Harold Bredesen that said, you know, seemed like Jesus misses a lot of opportunities to be early, but he's always on time. He's always on time. Always on time. And the scripture says, Paul said, he always causes us to triumph. Now remember, this guy's had several ships go under. Paul, how can you write that when ships have gone out from under you? Paul said, I'm still alive. I had a salvation, healing, Holy Ghost revival on one island because my ship went down, got the chief saved and delivered from cancer. I had a mighty revival because of the storm that we lost the ship, but no one was lost that was on the ship. They all floated in the shore. Something's cooking. Something's cooking. Hallelujah. Lord, don't you care? Oh, hear the words. Peace! Be still! And there's a lot of other ways that's been said. Hush, you're disturbing my friends. Peace, be still. A great command. And the Bible said, there was a great calm. You know, I've lived long enough to go through some great storms. I've gone through storms when it almost seemed like I was going to have a heart attack. I mean, the intensity of the pressure and the emotional pressure and people pressure and financial pressure. I mean, you think, my God, I can't take another day or another hour of this. But, oh, thank God there's peace in the midst of the storm. I tell you, there is peace. Listen to this, Pastor. If anything I've learned out of all of these years, there's peace in the midst of the storm. There's peace in the midst of the storm. Little sheep, stay in the fold. There's peace in the midst of the storm. As Pastor Bill Knott said in Australia, you see a sheep that wanders off, they're in trouble, whether they know it or not. Oh, a great calm. You see, this great calm. First of all, Jesus is greater than your storm. I could stand this morning, and some of you don't understand why we don't have unlimited testimonies. Some of you don't understand why we don't give the microphone away. I've tried to tell every one of my staff, be wise in what, because some testimonies aren't testimonies. Some testimonies don't edify. Some testimonies go downhill. Some testimonies, someone hadn't had a chance to talk all week, so they're going to get the microphone and this is their moment. I'm very open to something that edifies, really edifies. Not a flesh out, not a look at me. But I mean, boy, don't you like to just see someone just broken before God and said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. The doctor once said, there's no hope for me with cancer, but look at me, I'm well. We almost lost our home, but we came through. Oh, my marriage was shot and gone, and it was history. But God put it back to you. That's the kind of testimonies that edify. Hallelujah. Oh, I love those kind of testimonies. Jesus is greater than your storm, because Jesus can calm any storm. He's greater than the storm. And most important today, Jesus can calm your storm. You can't stand up today and give a story so sad, so impossible, so incredible, so far beyond the ability of God that I'm the one person in this audience that this message doesn't apply to. There's not one person in this audience but what God is saying. I am greater than your storm. I'm great. You say, well, we believed God and someone passed away. Yeah, that's happened through Scripture. You look at Stephen, you look at Jesus, you look at John the Baptist. None lived past 33. They just got the job done, got out of here. I mean, we want to see victory on every front, and I stand for victory on every front. I slam for the wall. I don't like bunting in baseball terms. But sometimes we don't win as we think we should win. But we always win in Jesus. Some way, somehow, we're coming through. In spite of your divorce, you're coming through. In spite of your bankruptcy, you're coming through. In spite of your losing everything, you're coming through. You can take the Word of God and come back again. God will give you another life. God will give you a new life. It's not over because you failed or someone else failed or both of you failed. It's not over because God's on the throne. And God's the God of comeback. God's the God of restoration. God can take nothing and make something out of it and say, let there be. And it lights start flashing and sun starts shining and moon is there. How awesome is our God? Got myself happy up here this morning. There was a great calm, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, start rejoicing. It's on the way. Start rejoicing. The longer you fuss, you delay the storm being over. There was a great landing. You know, say what you want to say about eternity, but one day we're going to be out of here. I don't believe in heaven. You don't have to go there, honey. You don't have to go there. I don't believe in hell. You don't believe in heaven. You better get you some asbestos underwear real quick. Because there's one there. And there was a rich man and there was Lazarus. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he's rich. And Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor. Lazarus had made his peace with God. And the rich man had not. And the one that went to hell didn't want any fellowship. He didn't want any of his family to join him. You see people sitting on the bar, ha, 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 we're all going to go to hell. We're going to party with our friends. Yeah. Uh-uh. It's eternal, honey. It's hot. It's no hope. It's eternal. But there was a great landing. The Bible said they came over to the other side of the sea. I'm just shouting so often. I mean, I still have my challenges, to be sure. But I just think of all the times God's brought Joe and I through. All the times He's brought our church. I mean, even in the post office. We had, God knows, this church has as strong a record of God coming through as any church. I mean, I know because I'm pastor. I know there's other churches, other pastors feel the same way, and I certainly respect their feeling. But I mean, there was no way, but God came through. It seemed like the storm would never be over. Trying to find financing around Thanksgiving and Christmas and first of the year, forget it. Forget it. They won't even return the phone calls. Everybody's gone to Acapulco or play golf or whatever. It's holidays. This past week, we sat down and talked with the former CEO of Pier One. I said, that's the beatenest preacher I ever met in my life. We sat down on Christmas Eve, and that deal downtown was closed by the first of the month. That is totally unheard of. Unheard of. He said, that preacher acted like he knew what he was doing. He didn't know how my faith was on the line. Oh, Jesus. They didn't train me for that in Bible college. So I looked at him, and he had a gold watch. Well, he didn't know that was given to me. In fact, most of my jewelry, what little jewelry I have, has been given to me, and I have some good stuff. But he said, you know, I met, and I thought, man, this isn't like the Catholic Church. leader with authority. Here's a man that I'm talking with a head man here. And we shook hands. He said, you shake hands and get a deal. You don't shake hands today, you better have a battery of lawyers. Oh, they're spirit-filled. You better have two batteries of lawyers. Oh, they speak with tongues. Three batteries of lawyers. I don't mean to be unkind, but everyone that says, Lord, Lord's not exactly coming from where you think they're coming from. A great landing. They came over to the other side. I'm still alive. I have a good wife. Great children, great grandchildren, great grapes, great church, great people. Thank you for all of you that believe in us. After all these years, God has given us blessing after blessing after blessing. And I think of that tree where I met Joy and saved her from the wolves down in Waxahachie on Bible College campus. God's brought us a long way from there, baby. God is a good God. But here's the final point I'd like to bring over, because I believe this is so very important. You know, we get all of this involves us in the storm, us in the boat. I mean, our life and, you know, our lives in jeopardy and the storm and the wind and the boat and the frenzy and don't you care that we perish. Let me tell you something that's a lot bigger than any of us in this room today. There were outstanding miracles on the other side of this miracle. My mother, you say, it's not just about me. It's about Jesus, His plan. When they got to the other side, there was a man called Legion. He had at least 2,000 demons, because 2,000 hogs ran into the water when they were cast out. Can you imagine a man with 2,000 demons that can drive 2,000 hogs into the water and hogs can't swim? It's not a natural thing for a hog to do, as I understand. Whether it is or it isn't, it was the last swim they ever took. And so here's Legion, full of the devil. They put chains on him. You can't chain this guy. You can't stop him. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, Satan does have power, but God has all power. And he comes out and Legion is there and he's been bound with chains and he's got 2,000 demons and Jesus sets him free. Do you think Legion was a thankful man the rest of his life when he got rid of 2,000, not one, not two or three old tired demons? I mean, 2,000 demons that could drive a herd of swine into the sea. I think if I was Legion, I'd be, I'd be so grateful the rest of my life. Now, that happened on the other side of the storm. And then there was a woman that had suffered many things of many physicians, probably cancer. I don't know that it was cancer, but she had an issue of blood, and it sounds like cancer to me. And thank God, that was a wonderful thing that God set free there. And then there was the man who had the child that was ill, 12-year-old child. Isn't that something? Little daughter, 12 years old. Daughter, wasn't it? Yeah. Ruler of the synagogue. And Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. Age of 12 years, the damsel arose and walked. She was of the age of 12 years. So here on the other side of the storm, if they had not come through, now Jesus could have done it any way he wanted to do it. But you see, I'm all absorbed in my storm. I'm all involved. But you see, it's important to get to the other side with Jesus, because 2,000 demons are going to have to flee. Because cancer is going to be healed. Oh, because a little 12-year-old girl is going to live when she was supposed to die. There are miracles on the other side of your storm. Outstanding miracles. You say, well, I've seen miracles. The best miracles you've ever seen are on the other side of your storm. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Man, we'd celebrate every little miracle back in our Christian school way back when. But nothing compared to the miracles we've celebrated the last few years. Every time you drive past that school, you ought to put your hand on your heart, hold on to the wheel with one hand, of course, and then lift that hand, keep one hand on the wheel, and thank God for signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise God. Have a home we never had when we could have been out of business in 2009. I know I get people upset when some people, I think. But I'm preaching about miracles, so I guess I have a right to talk about miracles too. You know, there's a miracle. There are a series of miracles on the other side of your storm. Do you understand? It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's those other little ships out on the water. And it's also these three major miracles. And of course, the miracles just kept rolling. We're just into the fifth chapter of Mark. All the other miracles that happened. Oh, thank God. He didn't call us to the other side to go under. He didn't call us to the other side for all the little ships that are looking to us to go under. He didn't call us into the ship that these other miracles will not take place. He's giving us an illustrated message to encourage us. The best is yet to come. Is that okay? It's the way I see it. And because I'm preaching, I get to preach it. I believe it. There are miracles on the other side of your storm that make Satan to tremble, that make the powers of darkness to flee. Praise God. More stuff been falling out of stuff here lately, but some of our children in the ministry said, your extension of mercy, unshakable faith in God has given us the foundation in our ministry that we can come through every storm. Man. I won't read the rest of it, but it was a very kind, gracious expression. It said, what we've observed at Calvary has given us strength and faith and courage that we can come through every storm. Father, I want to thank you for the word of God today. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Lord, all of us, in a sense, are going through some uncharted waters, not uncharted with you, but uncharted to us. Lord, you remember the chorus we used to sing in church, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. God, I just want to thank you today that you're greater. Your Son is greater than any storm that anyone in this room may be facing. Now, I know that may sound negative if someone's in the happiest time of their life, and I celebrate that too. I mean, everything's not a storm. But if you live long enough, you'll have some storms. And you need to know what Pastor Bob Nichols is preaching this day, that Jesus is greater than any storm that can ever come to your life. Hallelujah. That the word of God is sufficient for all that the evil one could bring. Nay, in all these things that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us.